Never before has the world come across four men more willing to share their collective knowledge and wisdom for nothing in return. They'll deliver it to you with such style and class and make Samuel L. Jackson look more like your snotty-nosed cousin who still wets the bed.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Why am I saying incredibly wonderful things about these men? Well, I have a terrible, terrible gambling habit and I owe them a lot of money. It'll be epic.
Something special is about to happen.
It'll be brave.
No fear, no hesitation.
It'll be perfect in every way possible.
Are you kidding me?
Rangers. Pete, Muffy and Joe, coming to you in all its pre-recorded glory from the capital of Australia. This is The Sports Trench.
Ah, yes, episode 142 of The Sports Trench is here. And we've got the two usual suspects with me. Fulzy, speaking of, how are you?
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad?
Pretty bad.
Why are you pretty bad?
To be honest, someone left me outside in the cold this morning.
Yeah.
For 15 minutes.
Yeah, that was Muffy. He's a bit of a jerk like that.
It's just in this horrible Queanbeyan weather we're having and all.
Look, I can't be relied on to do everything for this podcast.
Ooh.
And so...
Look, I'm the only one with notes here. These are good notes.
I've got notes on my phone here.
Oh, okay.
You need to calm down.
Yeah, well, I will calm down.
I remember when you were the least prepared out of everyone.
Yeah.
And now you're the most prepared.
It's changed. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I'm all professionalism nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Times have changed.
Yeah.
You're not professional.
Oh, okay.
By the way. Anyway, anything exciting happening, mate?
Oh, I got a car.
Oh, yes. Yep. You did. Get a brand new car.
A brand new car.
Mm. Subaru Forester.
Yep.
Hashtag unofficial sponsor now.
Yeah, no. Oh, actually, maybe they're pretty good if they can
give us
chuck
a couple
of
extra cars. Muffy's got a Forester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe...
It's about 655 years old.
Wow. Still going. that gives me
Muffy,
hope
speaking
mine.
Of which, I'll introduce you now.
Oh, good, because I was waiting to talk, but I can't talk because you get angry if I talk and you haven't introduced me.
I'll introduce you
good
now.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yes, my Forester is 2005.
Still... Very good.
Well, put it this way.
When was the last time you got it serviced?
I've never had it serviced since I bought it.
That's amazing.
Good car.
Yeah.
Have you got any oil in it?
I have done that. Yeah, I've done the oil thing. And I've changed the oil filter.
Did you buy it new?
No. Secondhand when I bought it.
How many years?
Maybe 5, 6 years old.
What a car. This makes my decision.
I love Subarus.
Yeah.
Yep, well, Fulzy's got a brand new one for you to mess up.
Oh, well, you could go 20 years without servicing that, Fulzy, guarantee it.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know, it does all this crazy stuff, right? I get in, and the sensor sees what my face is.
So this is what your hairdo is for the day, and goes, oh, that's
and then it goes, oh, my God, you're the ugliest person ever, lockdown.
It just goes, hello, Alex.
You're going with the man bun today, Alex.
It doesn't say hello, Alex.
It says hello, Alex, and then it auto-adjusts the seat. To my preferred seat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it says,
incredible stuff.
It says, why the man bun today, Alex? Bold choice.
I look awesome for
it. Bold choice with a man bun. It's like, is it Pierce Brosnan's voice similar to the house in The Simpsons?
Oh, it doesn't talk. It just says.
Or is it like
it talks sometimes.
The computer Monty Burns voice. Hello, Alex.
I haven't.
You are very
quite good at
turning. Oh, thank you, car.
And speaking of, you've gone the Pete Power charcoal suit today.
Yes.
Is there a big high powered business meeting? Talking about spreadsheets and things.
No.
I'm not in on his tie though.
That's very rude.
I already said this off the podcast.
It's
now I'm saying it on the record. This is going to be on the record.
It's getting in. It's like it's spring tones, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. We're almost in spring.
It doesn't work with the shirt.
Oh, grow up. Look, people are going to see this and they're going to go, it's almost spring. I feel better today.
It's not working with the shirt.
And then
it's not doing it for me. You are not good at turning me on.
Okay, fine.
Right? The car may tell you that, but the car's lying to you.
The car never lies.
The car just wants fuel.
Nope.
That's what it was.
No. Car and
anyway,
buds.
Muffy, how are you, my friend? Anything exciting happening in your world?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Well, I think, have we all survived the polar vortex that was this week?
Apparently it was cold again all of a sudden.
And everyone's like, oh, it's a polar vortex. It's winter time. It's going to be cold. It's the whole point of winter. Idiots. Anyway, but I survived. And Fulsey apparently spent 15 minutes outing it today and he survived. So I think we're okay.
Oh, God. I can't even. You're right. Like, 100% right. I can't even argue with that. And I didn't. Like, I haven't even whinged about the polar vortex. I'd be in on that.
And just FYI, what? Pete's been out of bed for what? 10 minutes?
Yeah, look, there's going to be some mistakes here.
it's a bit of a worry when Fulsey and I are the ones that are on song today. This could be a new formula.
Could be the worst episode ever, some would say. Dear. Anyway, all right, what do we got on today? We've got Ward 4, round 22 review, round 23 preview. Garth's got a bet. His free money one got up last week, but we didn't have an episode, so that didn't really help.
That is brutal.
Yeah, he's not real happy with me.
Stands to reason. That's about how we roll.
That's how we operate anyway. But before all that, we should probably do the news.
The good, the bad, and the...
Brown.
From the trenches.
Very good. Mm. That's amazing.
Everyone looked...
Improvisation.
Well, everyone...
That's literally the first word... On the run sheet.
Yeah. Exactly. We've really dropped off on the words, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, it's not that exciting.
No, Brown. I probably should have gone with Forrester, but I wasn't quick.
I'm going to have a mind-blowing word for next week.
Mind-blowing?
Yep.
Mm. Yep.
Discombobularity.
Ooh.
That's not even a word.
Specificity?
Nah.
Lism?
No, neither of those.
Go look up what lism means.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Is it not one for the kiddies, Pete?
No, it is... A friend of mine, Troy, once found it on some toilet paper. It was word of the day toilet paper. Lism.
Lism. Okay.
Go look it up. Anyway.
So it's like stop looking, listen. Is that what? No. Right. Moving on. Wow.
Right.
Peter's laughing at all the worst jokes he is. Something is
no,
different.
You. There's more to that than.
Right. If I find out what listen means, then I'll get the joke. Joke's on me.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. Anyway, Nathan Brown, boys, gone. What do we think? We've got to bust through these. Muffy's on a time limit here because I've slept in.
I think he was one of three that could have gone, and it's the axe has fallen. Well, again, he gets to coach the year out.
But that's the weird thing. Like, if he makes finals and coaches the year out, like, that's what they wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem a bit. Seems a bit sort of who did that? Didn't someone get them to the grand final? Got sacked the previous year, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
There was a coach that got them to the final. It might have been Griffin from the Broncos, maybe.
Nah, they didn't make a final under him.
Didn't they?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, okay.
They always sucked under
him. I just wanted to bring him up, so get you fired up.
Yeah,
Fulsey.
Thanks, man. Thanks for that start to the morning. Look, I don't think he was the coach to get it done. He should get some credit eventually when they've rebuilt, because he was...
I think he should get a lot of credit.
He did cop those two wooden spoon teams and everyone...
Three wooden spoon teams.
Yeah. Everyone talks about how he should get a lot of credit, but... The main credit there should probably go to the fans for still rocking up and letting it happen, and also the board for letting that happen, letting them bottom out.
Yeah, he and look, to the Knights' credit, they've said he did everything that we asked of him, pretty much, other than, you know, he's no longer the guy to push this team over the top. Like, so they were pretty honest about that, but they said he did a fantastic job. I think... If you had a rebuilding project again, you'd probably put him in because he can cop the losses and bring the players back in that you need to bring in. He just can't push a team over the top.
No. So who are they? Do they get a Super League coach? Is that who they got?
Or they're still looking at the moment. Yeah, no. Fitzgibbon was front runner and he pulled his hat out of the ring. So he doesn't want it. So
okay.
I think Fitzgibbon's either waiting for the Roosters job maybe to become vacant or he's looking for another job. Which, reading into that, just sidelines.
You know what I think Fitzgibbon's doing? I think he's waiting for Mary to go, which is probably going to be at the end of the year.
That's the other one. So Mary's the one that I read the rumour. So,
well, it makes sense. Like, that's where he started. I think he still lives down in Wollongong, Fitzgibbon, and he originally started as a... Was he a Steeler or was he an actual Dragon? I think he was a Steeler, wasn't he?
He was a Steeler. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, that would make sense. He would, if he wants to go that way, because he lives there.
Yeah. 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 So that's the other one, I think. But I don't know. Like, are either job better than the other one? Like, they're both in similar spots on the ladder. There's more Origin players in the St. George team, but that doesn't mean anything, yeah. I don't think.
I think there can be definitely worse teams that you can take over, though. Absolutely. Like, I think that both of those teams, yeah, they can go, you know, they need to be improving, but I think they've got the squads to do it.
Oh, like, I just don't think one job's so much better than the other.
No, I think you're right. I think they're pretty, you know, the teams are in a similar type of situation.
Yeah.
Maybe Newcastle's a bit further in front because they're probably got a bit more of a younger roster and have been building this squad. But
yeah
like the St. George squad's not horrible.
No. Mm. No.
Definitely hurts the Titans, this job becoming available.
Yeah. No one wants the Titans.
Well, Holbrook's got that, like, so.
Oh, that's right. That's the Super League guy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I knew that there was some Super League.
No, that's already locked away. Anyway. So.
Yeah, Fulsey.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, so I think Brown going was pretty obvious, but what I read about this and Fitzgibbon not taking the job was, once upon a time, the Raiders rejected Craig Bellamy. What a good decision that was. Rejected Craig Bellamy and took on Matt Elliott. Now, admittedly, Matt Elliott took us to within a game of a grand final that one of the years, right? But if you look at Melbourne's success since 2003, and you look at the Raiders' success since 2003...
Same.
pretty much the same.
Yeah. So it was so inconsequential.
Yeah, yeah, good decision.
That was your point?
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, speaking of which, the Melbourne Storm, Cameron Smith, boys, did we see the incident?
Yeah, he's always a grub. I don't know why people are shocked about this.
Oh, I'm not shocked by it. He is a grub. But he is also one of the all-time greats.
Did he get suspended or anything for this?
No, I think he got a warning or something, which, look, I don't care. Like, he twisted an ear. It's a crappy move. Mm. They busted him for it. His reaction's probably the biggest thing, where he reacted like he was the most innocent man in the world, and he wasn't. So
that's called the Justin Hodges.
Or the Paul Gallen. Or any other dirty player over the years who has been busted and they're like, nah, I didn't do it.
Mm.
Anyway, on a sad note, boys, Matt Scott had a stroke during the week.
That's awful.
And so he's now obviously out from the Cowboys team indefinitely. It wasn't football related, apparently.
Was it like was just a minor one? Like
he's in hospital. Like he's okay, and like he's not fine, but he's okay.
Wow.
And recovering. But yeah, you'd assume that he won't be back before his retirement, like at the end of the year anyway. So
yeah, I think it's not a bit of a sad way to go out. But
yeah, unfortunately.
Well, again, but in the end, long run, as long as your
health is exactly,
as long as you're still walking on your own two feet and still got all your faculties, then I think that's a win. You take that over the last three games of your NRL career, I think.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the news. We'll skip Ward 4. We took too long.
Few people are out.
Yeah. People are out. We'll talk about that during the preview. All right. Let's move on to the round 22 review, shall we?
The Sports Trench.
Thank you, madam. This is a struggle today, lads. Like, I am struggling. Thursday, 15 August, Seagulls 32, defeating the Tigers 12. Fulsey.
Comfortable win here for the Eagles, who are really spreading their wings and flying into these finals. The win now puts them in the top four. For the Tigers, this loss now makes it a bit harder to sneak into that eight. They probably, I think, would have to win out to get there, and I'm not sure I see that happening. Turbo again was amazing. He had 265 metres. I know the Tigers were under the pump all game, but 50 missed tackles is pretty insane for one game. The talking points include the struggle for the Tigers with their injuries. With now Little out, that's their two first preference number nines.
They got Josh Reynolds coming back in, though.
Oh, dear. Oh, God. And Brooks probably should be out after a pretty ridiculous knee to the face of Goswetski.
Yeah, look, you shouldn't put your face in the way of people's knees.
That's a good point. Goswetski had a very good game.
Yeah, he was very good. He got a couple of tries in this game. The Tigers weren't very good. Manly had a lot of possession in this game and looked like they could have gone over multiple times. during this game. And so eventually the Tigers cracked. Tigers attack looked pretty poor for most of the game as well. So they've got to do something drastic pretty quickly because finals are slipping away.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, anyway. Friday, 16 August. Parramatta Eels 36 defeating the Titans 12. Well, horrendous game of football. But that's what we expect from the Titans these days.
They held in there for like the first 20, 25. It was sort of a contest for a bit.
Yeah.
Parramatta took a while to sort of get going.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like Parramatta took a while to get going, but once they did, it was all over. Like, and you just knew it was going to eventually happen. Clint Gutherson was pretty good in this game. Backing up, Moses was actually pretty good in this game as well. I literally have nothing for the Titans. They were just terrible. Like, they just weren't good. And they've got... Their defense is so bad. It's just all up and in, and let's just leave the wings open and hope for the best. And the hoping for the best doesn't work because you've had nearly 30 points scored on you every week for the last 5 weeks or something like that.
So who's currently coaching them?
It's Luke Burt, and there's another person co-coaching. Can't remember who the other assistant is, but they're co-coaching at the moment.
Right, okay.
Anyway, yeah, other than that, look, Wonga Blake looks really good. I can't believe you let him go. Like, he looks really good for the Eels. Like, and I didn't rate him at all.
Didn't you? I thought he was good.
I didn't rate him at all for you guys. Like, I just didn't. But the more I see that he gets the ball a lot more, the better he looks. He just didn't get the ball with you guys.
Yeah.
So that makes a difference.
Yeah.
When you've got Naden making a mistake every 35 seconds.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of.
Friday, 16 August, Broncos 24 defeating the Panthers 12. Naden bombed an absolute certain try in this game, which is something different. He doesn't do that every week. Anyway. yeah, look, this game, the Panthers really let slip. I thought this was the game they needed to get up for. You're playing for your finals chances here, and they just were back to being the bad Panthers they were at the start of the year. And Brisbane have not been good this year. Darius Boyd in the 5-8 role is not good. And yet...
Milford looks better at fullback.
He does.
He looks much better at fullback.
Milford looks better at fullback.
He looks like he's got more fullback. He's got more freedom. And
but
he,
their halves look horrendous. Like, they look even worse than they did when Milford was in the halves.
Yeah, well, I think they really like... Is it Dearden?
Dearden,
I think they really like him. So
yeah,
I think they just want to give
Turpin,
him as much...
The hooker is playing...
That's right,
half
yeah.
...and stuff. And it's just... It's not good. Katoni Staggs and Jermaine Asako just dominated their side of the field and just scored tries at will. And you guys had no answers. Like, Cleary went missing again, and Maloney overplayed his hand.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
You got anything for me there, Fulzy?
Nah.
No?
Nah.
You've wrapped it up? You've given up on the season?
I did ages ago.
Just one quickly. I just thought of a new player nickname. You know, Penrith are called the Chocolate Soldiers.
Yeah.
Can we refer to Naden as the Chocolate Bomber?
Yes.
Good.
If you would like to.
Or it could be the Brown Bomber, but maybe that's...
Look, it all sounds a little bit toilet humour or racist.
You got it in one, Pete.
Or racist.
Is racist?
Yeah, you're racist. Anyway, moving on then. Saturday, 17 August, Knights 42, defeating the Cowboys 6. Muffy.
Oh, the Knights put the Cowboys to the sword in this one. Home, away from home, the Cowboys...
That wasn't as good as his spreading their wings.
Away from home, the Cowboys couldn't be spurred on, Pete.
It's a joke about cowboy shoes.
He's spreading his wings. One was better.
7 tries to 1 in this game. The Knights really turned it on from the outset. They scored twice in the first 7 minutes. One in the 6 minutes to Ponga, and the 7 minutes Mitchell Pearce. Pretty much they just had the run of the mill. Jake Clifford managed to get over in the first half for the Cowboys. But that was about it. Mason Lenore actually hit 7 from 7 in the conversions too, so they pretty much scored every single point that they could, the Knights. possession in this game was pretty even. It's just that the Cowboys, every time the Knights got it, they did something with it. Every time the Cowboys got it, nothing. Missed tackles. There was 35 missed tackles on the Cowboys, which is not heaps in a game. We've seen a lot more. But the Knights only missed 10, which is a huge... Their defense was actually quite good in this game.
Yeah, right. It's good that they're turning it on at the right time. Of the
Doing
year.
It for Brownie.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, yeah, absolute panting. Cowboys are thinking about Bali. All right, moving on to Saturday, 17 August. Raiders 22 defeating the Storms 18 in a miraculous comeback. The Storms have never lost a game after being up 18-0.
Yeah, that's true.
So, this was all Storms early. Two sin binnings to the Raiders. One 3 minutes into the game or 4 minutes into the game. Didn't really help Whiten going to the bin. Then Tapene being an idiot and throwing a punch. Admittedly, though, Asafa Solomona and his big head deserved it. So, I wasn't that mad about it. But it did put the Raiders under a bit of pressure. And so, the Storms went up 18-0 and looked like they'd probably run on with the game from there. To the Raiders' credit, though, they never really gave up and they stuck on to the task. Jared Croker was phenomenal. He scored the next two tries for the Raiders, 33rd and 52nd minute. And after that, look, the Raiders started to get back in the game. Jordan Rapana got a try and we were set up for that grandstand finish. It was 18-16. Then Josh Hodgson, the stripper that he is, stripped a ball. I love strippers. And then
I love when a few happen in a row, and automatically everyone, the commentators, always refer to it as
it's a strippathon.
A strippathon. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, could you just imagine what that would look like?
Anyway,
it's a sport.
Then Josh Papali crashed over, and the Raiders were home and hosed in what was a pretty massive victory. Let's talk about the strip rule. Do we like it as it currently is, Jim?
Love it.
Yeah, me too. Like, this is the thing. Like, and it frustrates me. The media are like, oh, all these coaches and teams hate it. Yeah, you hate it because it turns possession over, which you don't want to do. Like, and you hate it. You're like, oh, people fall off and there's interpretation. There's 400 interpretations of rules every game and you're whinging about this one.
Yeah. Like, I'm fine with it. And all the ones that I've seen, I think the referees have got it pretty well spot on. I don't think there's been too many that I've seen that they've gone, no, that's, you know, there's two players in the tackle, or ones that they've let it go. It's pretty close to everyone's dropped off at the right time. So as long as that sort of consistency keeps happening, then yeah, look, I'm all for it. I think it's a great rule.
Yeah, look, the Raiders are good at it, and they're the best at the comp.
Well, because they know what to do. They've practiced it, and other teams will now practice it because, of course. And then particularly coming up against Hodgson, they'll know to, you know, maybe they might in the first 20 minutes they'll know to do that, but he doesn't do it in the first 20 minutes.
He
does
in the back 20 minutes.
He does it
tired
when everyone's fatigued, and you know, decision making under fatigue is a real thing in the NRL. And yeah, I think good on him.
Yeah, look, I love it, and I think if they go back to the old rule of just one on one strips, then it's just gonna not happen again, and it's just gonna be poor.
If
you're gonna take that out, you're gonna have to take out the wrestle. So the game moves.
Is it a rule in the Super League, in English Super League?
I don't know, actually.
Because Bateman does it well.
Yeah.
And I've seen Elliot Whitehead do it as well. I don't know whether it's an English thing or whether those guys have just... they were doing it previously. I'm not sure, but anyway.
I think the one-on-one strip rule is a thing over there. I think they generally try to keep most of the rules aligned.
Yeah. It just seems weird that most of the players that are executing it and executing it well are from the English brigade. Mm-hmm.
Have you started thinking about what kind of dip you're going to have with your chip at the end of the year?
You're such a dick. You know that?
What's this one about?
The chip.
So
the running joke is having a dip with the chip. They are.
And so
PPs are getting all nervous. Yeah. Getting all anxious.
Yeah, he's getting invested again.
I am getting invested. Oh, he's very...
We'll know if he's actually invested if he starts going to the live games. There's two home games left, and see what PP does. This Sunday, Pete?
No.
Polar Vortex will be finished. It'll be a lovely afternoon out there.
It'll be like summer again.
Yeah.
No, too much polar vortex. Anyway, all right, moving on to Saturday, 17 August. On top of the Raiders getting a win, the Bulldogs, another win.
Picked it, everybody. I picked it.
Defeating the Rabbitohs 6, Muffy.
What a game, Pete. This was the...
It was horrendous.
This was
I watched it. This was not a blockbuster. The other game before it was great.
This was a blockbuster in my eyes.
No, this was terrible, terrible football. But
it was dire football from the Dogs. Their defense was awesome, which considering that we're, you know, leaking 30 to 50 points at the start of the year, this is a big boost. The Rabbitohs. Ooh, shaky ground. They are...
Halsey called this about a month ago.
They are shaky.
And I poo-pooed him.
Yes.
And I am very much very wrong, and I apologize.
Ooh, thank you. Vomit him.
I think you are. I think you are very right. And unless Johnston comes back and they start moving the football more wide, because they've not been spreading the ball anymore, and because they're not doing that, like guys like Cody Walker and stuff are not getting their hands on the ball and not getting opportunities to attack. And unless they start doing that again and stop just thinking they can bash people through the middle, they're in big trouble.
Yeah, and Damien Cook has seemed to... I don't know whether he's stopped doing what he's doing. I think he's just getting... I think people are playing... they're literally singling him out as a team to stop... to cut his runs down as best they can.
Yeah, and they've talked about...
And he didn't run... Like, he ran a little bit, but there was nothing that he really looked super dangerous that he could have cracked the game at any time, which, you know, at the start of the year and last year,
so they
he was going to do that pretty much at will.
They talked about the fact that they're cutting down, like, Damien Cook's opportunities and teams have figured him out. I think Souths are making it easy by just running up the middle, one out most of the time, and trying to get quick play the balls that way, and then Cook can't get opportunities to then run. Like, I think it was the same in New South Wales in State of Origin. First game, he was brilliant. Second game, they really struggled. Third game, he was really good again. But that's because they went wide. They got out of the way of the teams coming up quick and bashing them through the middle. And then they got tired when you went wide all the time because you're chasing all the time. And eventually, you know, Cook could, you know, get those quick play of the balls, run through the middle and do all that damage that he does best.
Yeah. And they should move away from bashing through the middle anyway, because the top four teams as it stands, I think, are all better at that anyway.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. The top four are probably better at bashing it through the middle. And you know what? They're probably better at moving the football and moving teams around and then bashing it through the middle again.
I think we're talking too much about South Sydney. We need to talk about the Dogs.
Yeah,
they're really good at the back end of the year here. Four out of the last six.
Three in a row. So first time three in a row of the whole year. Most importantly, this win puts them four wins off the bottom of the table with three rounds to go. No wooden spoon. Hey-ya.
Yep, that is good. And guess what? You win all your games, you can still finish as high as seventh. Everyone else has to lose.
So you're saying there's a chance, Pete? Yep,
that's exactly what I'm saying.
So, yeah, because South will make the top eight. Mm-hmm. Just the position will vary, but they will make the top eight. Yeah, look, for the Rabbitohs, I think it's very concerning. And the other thing to note in this game, obviously, it was a pretty tight game, but the Rabbitohs were down to 14 players. Braden Burns went off. I think Cameron Murray ended up not coming back from a HIA, and someone else had a HIA.
Yeah, Burns did his hamstring, which looked sad for him because he had it already. He already had like a warming leg warmer thing type, you know.
Yes.
And then he just was gone.
So that was in the first half, and then I think it was 15 minutes to go, and South were down to one person on the bench. So struggle for them, but look, I think regardless of that, I think the Dogs would have.
Dogs were better.
They were much better.
They've been really good. And we talked about this, and I said, like, it could happen again, but I couldn't back them, like, but I should have. Anyway, moving on. Sunday, 18 August, Roosters 42, defeating the Warriors 6. Warriors have just given up. Like, they absolutely have just given up. Like, they gave up in this game.
To me, I think, we're talking about Brown, Mary McGregor. I think Stephen Kearney is...
I think he's got to go.
Like, he has to go. He's
Parramatta, he was horrendous.
Yeah.
He's not proved any better at the Warriors. He needs to go.
And these performances that the Warriors are putting in are shameful. I think the Titans are putting in more effort than what the Warriors are putting in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, the Warriors won a couple of weeks ago. And when they do put in at home, they look really good. But they didn't put in against the Raiders and got smacked. Mm-hmm. And then they haven't put in against the Roosters and got smacked. Mm-hmm. So, side note, I'm in a high-low tipping comp. I went high for the Roosters and low for the Warriors in this one. and I used my Joker, which was double points. It got me pretty much only halfway up the ladder because I've been very bad all year.
Was that the highest score? So what's high low? Like the highest score and then...
The highest score of the week minus the lowest score, whatever team you choose, like as the lowest score. Okay, and then that gives you a point total.
Yeah, right.
I've been very bad all year. I was on about 80 points.
Right.
And then I got the 78 from this game and it took me to about 150 and it moved me from... 19th to about 14th.
Let me guess what you're doing this week. Melbourne Titans.
Pew pew. I am actually, because I've got those left. So there's rules of you can't use a team more than twice, but you have to use every team at least once.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then so I've got...
As in each team for the highest and the lowest.
Yeah, each team for the highest and lowest. You can't use any team more than two, and you can't use, and you have to use every team at least once. Makes it difficult. Much more difficult now. Anyway, that was a side note because who wants to talk about this? Latrell Mitchell dominated. Tedesco dominated. Brett Morris dominated. See you, Foolsy. You're going to owe me all the wings or beers or whatever you owe me.
Wings and beers. It's everything.
I think you owe me a bet from the previous year as well.
Probably.
Yeah, so I think you owe me a lot, basically.
Right. I think so.
Moving on to the game that actually mattered at the end of the round. Sharks 18 defeating the Dragons 12. Foolsy.
Yeah, it did matter, but it was pretty boring with a lot of sloppy play. Yeah. The teams combined for 33 penalties and completed at 71% for Cronulla and just 68% for the Dragons. In the end, it was a try to Jerry in the 76th that separated the teams and thankfully spared the viewers any extra time. The Dragons are now officially done mathematically. The Sharks sit in the 8th. But I can see them falling out, but they will be very happy to have Fifita back this week. The only real talking point out of this is whether the Jerry try was legitimate. The NRL has since cleared it as fine, but what do you think?
I think it was fine.
I
don't think it came off. It looked like it didn't touch Graham at all. It sort of bounced.
Graham said he got it. That's the thing.
Got it with his hand or with his head?
Yeah. That's what I think. Graham came out and said, I touched that.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty hard to, like, that back and forth replay was pretty difficult from all angles to see whether he actually touched it. It wasn't conclusive.
Like,
and because it was done try on the field, that's where it was like, there's no conclusive to say, yes, he did or he didn't.
I really hate this slow-mo, the slowdown of it, and then we argue over this for, you know, hours and hours. Like, there's stuff that you can conclusively go, all right, you screwed that up. Over slow-mo even, and fans go, well, you screwed that up, right? That's not good. That's not a good decision. And you can clearly see that. This one was, you couldn't clearly see it. Now, Graham came out and said, yeah, I got it. But you couldn't clearly see this one, and you couldn't conclusively say it either way. So I'm happy with the call to be a try. It's just, I'm very annoyed at people whinging about the bunker and the referees all the time. They screw up. They do. They're going to.
Yeah, but I mean, they gave... All the information that they had, they made a call, and if this had been ruled a no try on the field, it probably would have stayed a no try. That's the on field decision was what swayed either way for this for the bunker.
Yeah,
like because there was no like it was really tough to tell 100% whether he touched it.
Yeah. The alternative is like, and which people go, oh, get rid of the bunker. The game was so much better. No, it wasn't.
No,
like,
it wasn't.
The game was not better before the bunker.
People have nostalgia about things that just were not true. Yeah.
Tries were not ruled tries all the time. Yeah. The corner post used to be out. Like were not tries anymore.
Yeah.
There'd be so many more that just wouldn't be ruled tries.
Yeah.
There'd be a heap that were ruled tries, and then they'd show the slow-mo on the replay, and everyone go, oh, it wasn't a try, and they'd lose their mind.
It's horrendous idea.
It's the worst idea I've ever heard.
That's right. And if you're a Dragons fan, you should be talking about the fact that, you know, attack the ball, catch on the full, and none of this bloody happens.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like, don't let it bounce in your own sort of 15, 20-meter mark. Just
correct.
Get it. Anyway.
Exactly. Anyway, all right, moving on, boys. We're going to talk about some NRL expansion. Does the NRL need less Sydney teams?
No.
Correct, Alex. This is why I like it.
Anyway. I was also going to say no, Pete.
No, it's too late. I already like Alex. You can't do it either.
What'd you call me?
I said... What did I call you? I didn't call you Alex, did I? I called him Alex.
Foolsy picked it up. Yeah. Anyway, carry on, Pete.
I don't know. What did I say?
You said I couldn't do something.
You couldn't do Alex? Is that what I said? You could probably if you want to.
I wouldn't want to.
I'd prefer not.
That sounds like he doesn't want to take off his suit his peach and salmon tie.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I don't know. I don't think we need
no
Sydney teams. This is a ridiculous concept made by people who think we need to expand to other areas.
We don't need to expand. All we need to do is we need to move the Gold Coast Titans now somewhere else. Whether that's Central Coast, whether that's in another team based in Brisbane, that's what's got to change. That's the bit that's got to move. That team somewhere.
So the thing is, people argue, well, the AFL did this. Yes, but if you look at the AFL, there are still 9 Melbourne or Victorian teams. There are 9 Victorian teams.
Mm. And what is there, 8? Well, technically 7 Sydney teams?
8 Sydney teams.
Well, do you class Penrith and Newcastle? Yes.
Yeah.
You do
class Penrith, not Newcastle.
Yeah.
Penrith are a Sydney team. So there's this argument. They're like, oh, well, maybe, you know, Parramatta or Penrith could, you know, be the West, or West Tigers and Penrith. And it's like, no, Tigers already merged. You can't do this. Like, and these statements coming out saying that there needs to be like criteria, and you got to have memberships, and you got to have fans come through the door and stuff like that. I'm like, this is not going to work. This is just going to be bad for everyone involved relocating a Sydney team.
Exactly. Yeah. Put that criteria in and guess the first team is out. The Gold Coast Titans.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's the thing. Like, Gordon Tallis is the one that brought this up, who's part of the Gold Coast Titans. And he's like, oh, no, we're only going to do this. Or Mark Geyer, I think. We're only going to do this for the Sydney teams, though. I'm like, no.
Why? I don't understand that. Like, there's a reason why these horrendous teams, or maybe not this year, but traditionally quite bad over the past 5, like Parramatta and West Tigers, all those Sydney teams that have sucked and constantly been on free to air, and that's because they get money.
Yeah.
You don't mess with the area that gets money.
No, and it makes no sense. Like, it makes no sense to me to go to Perth. Like, your heartlands are New South Wales and Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
The AFL went to Perth because it's one of their actual heartlands.
That's right.
Like, you know what I mean? They went to Adelaide and put 2 teams in South Australia because it's one of their heartlands.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Rugby league is not in those cities.
Exactly.
Rugby league is in Queensland and New South Wales.
Yeah.
Like,
as I'm saying, put another team in Brisbane. But it's a heartland.
I know. Like,
but I guess I reckon that goes back to not messing with your cash cow as well, because I think Brisbane just makes them so much money.
Oh, look, and they do. But, I mean, that is the logical choice to put. Like, if you want to go where people will support a team and you've got a fan base, like, people, like, it's there. We've seen the Cowboys are successful doing it. The Broncos are the most successful club in the league and have been probably since they started.
Like, it just what annoys me probably even more is these media commentators who harp on, got to get rid of a Sydney team, got to get rid of a Sydney team. You know what's going to happen? They're going to bow to pressure and it's going to happen.
Well, they shouldn't, because it's dumb.
It is absolutely dumb. Like, your expansion areas are New Zealand, which I don't think you should, because the Warriors have proved they can't get it done in a rugby union, you know, country. Queensland, and maybe a Perth team, maybe. But if you're going to do that, you move. I think Central Coast is a must. Like, I think that is an absolute must.
Well, everyone's talking about Central Coast, and obviously they got a full house there. Mind you, it was a cracker game to get a full house, so you should have. Everyone's talking about, you know, Central Coast needs a team, whether reviving the old Bears franchise for whatever reason. And that's what I'm saying. Look, if you want to move, like, by all means, move the Gold Coast franchise and rename it and move it to Central Coast. If that's how you get a Central Coast team, I don't think you can.
No.
You can't get rid of a Sydney team and then put in a Central Coast team.
Yeah. It won't work.
You can't do that.
No.
Yeah.
Won't work. And you're just going to alienate and lose fans for that. And I think the argument was, oh, well, Southeast Melbourne did it with the Swans and stuff like that. It was a different time. Like, people consumed and watched their team and, you know, participated as part of their team in different ways back then. Like, you actually physically went to games. And if people didn't go to games, then you weren't being watched. Television now has expanded the
absolutely,
market.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, and now people will watch games, but you're just going to turn off a whole heap of people to rugby league who are just not even going to watch it at all if their team's gone.
Yeah. I honestly don't see the Perth thing. I don't think they can get it done there. I really reckon they'd have more luck giving a second Melbourne team a crack over
Perth. Like,
yeah,
that's not Perth is not.
Well, and again, I know we joke about the travel, but could you imagine?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if there's a Perth team, right? And that team's got to then travel to North Queensland. They've also got to go to Auckland.
Mm.
Like Auckland to Perth is what, 8 hours or something?
Yeah.
Like it's a long way.
They'd more than likely double up, I reckon. So they'd do some double up type situations where you'd probably play in Auckland like 1 week, play the Warriors, and then you'd come back and play in a Sydney team or a Queensland team, and then you'd go home for a couple of double headers. I think they'd do the scheduling like that.
Oh, I'd say so. Mm. But again, it's still, you know, and again, we all, you know, it's only 3 hours from Auckland, but it's what, 5 hours back and forth to Perth.
Mm.
Look, you know, I like the fact that, you know, WA and Perth in particular are sports nuts. They're, you know, they're the second Melbourne of sport, essentially. They'll fill a stadium regardless of what's on. But just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it.
Yeah.
Like.
Mm. Anyway, all right.
Agreed.
I'm glad we're all on the same page there. We've changed. All right, let's move on to the round 23 preview, and we're going to bust through this.
I don't have a sweat for you, Pete.
It's all good. Thursday, 22 August, Eels versus the Bulldogs at Bankwest. Fulzy.
Paulo is in. Alvaro is moved to the bench, and Moroa will drop out. The Dogs are unchanged. So we kind of touched on this before, but Muffy, I was reading that there is a scenario where if 14 games all go the Dogs' way, they can make the eight.
I'm happy that I can't get the wooden spoon. That is a winning season for me.
That is. After where it started, definitely. Yeah. I do think the Dogs are a shot here with wins against the Knights, Panthers, Tigers and Souths in the last 6 weeks. They're all final hopefuls. I have a hard time calling it, but you know what, Mumphy? I am going to say the Dogs by two.
Oh, thanks, mate, but I'd rather you didn't, because every time I tip them, they win.
Sorry. Eels by two.
No, you're too late. You can't change your mind. Like, Muffy's already tried to cheat through the tipping comp this year. Yeah, controversy. Anyway, look, I'm going to go with the Eels by four, but I could easily see the Bulldogs winning the game.
Well, it's got to be Dogs. Rivals.
It's got to be
the Dogs.
All right, moving on. Friday, 23 August, Cowboys versus the Panthers at 1300 Smiles, Muffy.
My team list page is taking a while to load here, Pete, but... Oh, God.
Yes?
Yes,
my child.
What is going on here? Okay, so that's literally gone blank again.
Racist.
I said blank. Have you got it up there?
Nah. Something unrelated.
Oh, jeez. What are we going to do with you? All right. So for the Broncos, that's the wrong game. Look, I'm looking at the Broncos game. Have you got it up yet or what? I've got it. All right. Corey Jensen, Gideon Gila-Mosby, Tal Malolo, and two other guys who clearly aren't going to play are ins. Matt Scott's an out. For the Panthers, Sele, Luai, Malachi Watenis is a Lesniak. He's been called in. Crichton, Egan and Burns, outs are Mansour and Katoa. Crichton comes onto that wing. And then we've got Luai onto the bench, which is probably a good thing considering the way Maloney played the other day. I think you need something else there. Mm-hmm. Other than that.
That Crichton is Stephen Crichton. It's the other one. It's the younger brother of the winger that they lost to the Bulldogs.
There you go. Didn't know that. Thank you very much for that information. Cohen Hess comes onto the bench, and Tal Malolo obviously comes back onto the reserve list at this point in time.
Still shaky on that foot injury, I heard, so he may be a late inclusion.
Yeah, right. Well, there you go. Interesting game here. I can't tip the Cowboys on their last performance, so I'm going to go the Panthers by two, but I don't trust them at all.
Panthers by four.
I've got a feel. I want to tip the Cowboys up there for Matt Scott. If Tal Malolo plays, I think the Cowboys could get it done. If he doesn't, I think it's going to be tough. So I'm going to bank that Tal Malolo will play, and I'm going to go Cowboys by six.
Ooh.
All right. Moving on then.
Do you want me to do this one for you, Pete?
No. Oh, you've got this one?
No. I can do it for you. I've got it.
Friday is the Broncos versus the Rabbitohs. Alex Glenn is in. Matt Gillett is in for the Broncos. For the Rabbitohs, we've got Corey Allen in, Kyle Turner in, and outs are Braden Burns and Tom Burgess. Look, I can't pick this game. I honestly can't. I've spent all week Souths are bad. They've been real bad. And this is up at Suncorp. Like, this is going to be a danger game. I'm going to go Souths by two, but this is bad.
Broncos by two.
Yeah, I think Broncos win. I'm just an idiot. I'm tipping clearly like an idiot.
Basically. No, I think I'm gonna go South in this one. Just obviously their halfback Jack Turpin is also out. Sean O'Sullivan comes in for him. Tevita Pangai Jr. is suspended. I don't know. I just think the Rabbitohs need a spark, and Wayne against his old club, Seabold against his old club could be a bit more pep. I'm gonna go the Rabbitohs. They've got more to play for, and I think they need to step up. So I'm gonna say that they will, and then by six.
Saturday, 24 August, Sharks versus the Warriors at PointsBet. Fulzy.
Moylan is out. Dugan will go to fullback. Mulatalo will come in on the wing. Fifita comes in on the bench for Billy Magoulias. Fuzzy Tour is in. Pompey is out. Herbert will come in for Beal, who unfortunately looks like he might be out for maybe up to 12 months. Isaac Luke will start with Jazz Tavadja moving to lock. Burr will go to the bench as a result, and Sow will drop out. Surely the Sharks at home, although they are, in my opinion, absolutely zero chance of winning a premiership, they should still probably make the eight. And a win here would go a long way to achieving that. So I'll go Sharks by six.
Yeah, I've got the Sharks by 10. I think the Warriors suck.
Yeah, the Warriors are horrible. Sharks by 12.
Saturday, 24 August, Tigers versus the Knights at Campbelltown. As we've talked about in this game, it looks like Brooks is struggling at the moment with an injury. Jacob Little is out. Josh Reynolds has come back into the side, and he's playing hooker. So that's an interesting one. Luke Garner also comes back into the team. For the Knights, we've got Bradman Best.
Chance to make his debut. Tau Tau Moga is another injury, but it's a hamstring this time, not a knee.
Yeah, so he's potentially going to come in. Otherwise, Danny Levi is also into the squad, as well as Jamie Bura is also potentially to come back into the squad after recovering from his injury. He's on the bench at the moment. Connor Watson is also out for this night side. Tough game to pick here, boys, because these two teams are both fighting it out to try get in. Loser is done, pretty much. I think I'm going to go the Tigers. Tigers by four. I think the Knights played really well last week, but I think the Tigers can bounce back.
No, I'm going to go the Knights. I just think that they're on a bit of a roll after that big win, so I'm going to go Knights by six.
After losing six in a row, yeah, you're right.
They're I'm going to go Knights.
I said after the big win. I clarified my position.
Knights by 14.
Fair enough. It looks like it. That's the one I need to make up my footy tip income. Dragons versus the Roosters is the next game on the Saturday. Yes? Saturday. Yeah, Muffy, you're up.
Oh, cool, I'm up. So, Jonas, I think that's how you pronounce it, Jonas Pearson. He comes onto the wing for the Dragons at the expense of Ravalawa, who was the problem. He was a problem child in that defensive line. Not only defensive, but bringing the ball out. I think he took it over the sideline at least once, maybe twice, coming out from their own end. So that's not ideal. So he's dropped completely to the reserves. Jackson Ford made his debut last week, and he's actually going to go into the starting side. And Patrick Kafusi makes way and goes to the bench. For the Roosters, there's only one change, and that's Takiaho will come back from a calf injury. Boyd Cordner is still not named in this side, and so that is it. For the Roosters, I think surely they will just continue on their winning way. By how much? Let's go by 14.
Ooh, I've got them by 12.
Yeah, look, Roosters by 10. All right. Moving on to the last game of the round, or second last game of the round, sorry, is the Storms versus the Titans. The ins are inconsequential. The outs are inconsequential. The Storms are going to win this by 30.
Wow.
Look, what the hell? Like, this Titans team stinks. Nathan Peets is playing lock again. Like, this is just dumb. Like, Michael Gordon is playing fullback this week with Brimston on the bench. Like, they're just looking for answers. Bryce Cartwright's out of the side again. Like, this is just dumb.
Yeah, they need to play, you know, if you've got Brimson, you need to play him in the halves, in the fullback, wherever. If Michael Gordon is back, by the way, which is a good sign for him. We thought he may not have been able to come back for his last few games of his career. So he's back. But yeah, if you've got Brimson in your team, you've got him. You've got to just put him in the halves. Mm. You've got to give him 80 minutes because he is a damn good player.
Yeah. Mm.
But anyway,
are you going to pick a team there, or are you just not going to?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, it can't be the Titans. That's just silly. Yeah. It has to be Melbourne by 77.
Okay, good.
77. All right. I'm actually meeting you guys in the middle. Craig Bellamy has lit a fire under his Storm team. He's told them that no one is safe after that loss last week. Storms by 44.
It's just that you have gone in the classic middle. Bellamy, though. Like, no one believes that. He doesn't even believe it. He just wants to try get him to play better. But
doesn't matter.
You know what? Like,
I think it will work.
Cameron Smith goes, yeah, I see right through this. Like,
oh, probably. But I think part of why he's such a great leader is that he probably buys into that.
Yes.
Like, not actually. No. Like, not I really believe that I will be out come finals, but buys in and lifts his game and gets the guys around him too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. All right, last game of the round, Raiders versus Seagulls and GIO Muffy.
One small change for the Raiders. Joseph Tapanay is out with a rib injury and Ryan Sutton comes on to the starting spot for him at lock. Hudson Young comes onto the bench. For the Seagulls, there are no changes from the team that beat the Tigers last week. Curtis Sironen has not returned and Brad Parker doesn't look like he'll be back after that knee injury where he got taken off. Stretched, well, not stretched, but helped off the field. 3v4 this game. Big game on a Sunday. TV game. Ooh, can you feel it?
I think it's
going to be a cracker. And at home, Raiders, Sunday afternoon sunshine, their specials. Let's go Raiders by 6.
Ooh.
I was going to say 7, but I think 6.
I've got the Raiders as well by 6. I'm very concerned, though, because the Seagulls can get us and have got us before. This is a dangerous game for us because I think they're a good side and I think they can beat us, definitely.
Mm. Mm. I have them beating you on a Cherry Evans field goal.
Right.
So okay. Time's up.
Yeah, time's up. That's it. That's the end of the show. Yes. Well, look, I can't argue with you there. It's a reasonable suggestion.
Mm.
Mm. Anyway. All right. Well, we should move on to the bets because we definitely can't fit in Supercoach, which is fine because I think it doesn't matter for any of us except Rangers, doesn't it?
Nah, I'm in.
You're in?
Yeah, I'm in.
All right. Good job. Well done. We'll definitely talk about it next week. We'll break down what the hell happened with our years and stuff.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
Mm. Anyway. Not much you can do about that. We've got no intro there for that. All right, Fulzy, you got a bet for us?
Oh, listen, this could be the last one of the year. We've let the listeners down for a while now. We're going to secure the bag this week.
The bag.
Oh, we are securing a serious bag.
Right.
Knights fans will love this.
Yeah.
Knights versus Tigers.
Yeah.
Knights
this is
free money.
It's not.
Knights minus 1.5.
Mm.
Knights will win both halves. They'll score the first try in the first half, and they'll be first to score in the second half. They'll be the first team to 10 and the first team to 20 in a game that goes over 39.5 points, where Norfoluma, Ponga, and SKD all score, and the Knights score last. One house will get you 163.22 houses.
Wow.
This is coming good, boys. I can feel it. Wow. If I get that, can I bet out for the year?
Yes.
Yeah, good. I'm looking forward to it.
That is outrageous. Like, I barely believe the Knights are the better team to win the game, let alone you just said.
They barely have to win. No, actually, they have to win all the halves and all that other stuff.
Yeah, first try, last try. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Nah, it'll come good, trust me.
All right, okay. Anyway, Garth's got a same game multi for us. It's the Cowboys versus the Panthers game. Over 38.5, right?
Mm.
Dylan Edwards, anytime try scorer, the second worst fullback in the league. Penrith, 11-20. And Penrith, 5-8 halftime.
Mm-hmm.
25 houses, 111 houses.
For 25?
No, 2,775. It's 111 houses to one.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah, it's not bad. I don't mind it. Mm. I'll get on board. Mm. I like that better than
I'm getting on full. I'm getting on board. Full season.
Yeah, you exactly.
I'm all out,
Why don't, if you do both, right?
Free money.
You get the first one. You put your $111 on the second one. Woof! You're looking good by the end of the weekend.
Free money. Canberra Raiders, Manly Sea Eagles, under 46.5. Manly plus 10.5. $2.08. Free money.
Mm. Mm.
10.5. Yeah, that's a generous line in that game.
No, well, that's a... Pick your own mud, like let's pick your own.
To give that free though,
yeah,
10.5. Yeah, I don't think they're going to get spanked even if they do lose.
Mm. It is free.
Mm. Mm.
That's why we call it free.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway,
excellent.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of the show, lads. Thanks very much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks for getting up, Pete. It was a pleasure.
We'll be back next week, obviously, to talk more football. But everyone enjoy watching the footy over the weekend.
Yeah, we don't. The music player died, so we don't have any. That's why we didn't have intros and outros, because it was
the day the music died.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's today.
The music died.
Oh god.
Bye, everybody. Have a good
bye.
Week.
Bye.